Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 10 of the Kind Stop the Bad podcast series. In this episode, we'll be discussing the common myths and misconceptions about why individuals and organisations feel they won't be a victim of a cyber attack, and give you some practical tips on how to avoid being a target. I'm Melanie Hayes, Chief Marketing Officer at Kind, and today I'm joined by Kind's Product Manager, Will Hesselman. Hi, Will.
Hello.
And Saka Sain, Kind's Cybersecurity Risk Analyst. Hi, Saka.
Hi.
Hello, both of you, and thank you so much for joining me. So, to get us started, as we all know, there have been many well-publicised cyber attacks recently. For example, Saudi Aramco, the world's largest oil producer, confirmed a data leak after receiving a $50 million cyber ransomware demand. And perhaps an example a bit closer to home, Northern Rail's ticket machines were hit by a ransom attack only last week. Now, couple these attacks with the COVID pandemic accelerating businesses' digital transformation, you would think that the risk and impact of a cyber attack would be at the forefront of organisations and individuals, wouldn't you? However, at Kind, we are commonly coming across both individuals and organisations believing their risk is really low and it's incredibly unlikely to happen to them for a variety of reasons. But what are these reasons? Is there any validity to them? And how can you actually avoid being a target? So if I can, I'd like to begin with you, Will. What are the reasons that you're hearing about at the moment? And have you got any advice that can help?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the most common things we hear is that organisations never think that they are going to be the target because they're too small, they don't have anything valuable within their organisation. And certainly, as you mentioned in the intro, we hear a lot about the big, valuable data breaches and incidents that affect global companies. Naturally, that's where the media focus will target. However, over half of attacks actually hit small and medium enterprises, organizations with 250 employees or fewer. And that's really because lots of attackers don't really target who they're looking to attack, but instead just cast a wide net. They'll send scanners out, they'll start looking for vulnerable pieces of software, not really caring who they're going to be attacking. And then when they hit that attack, they'll just go through with the attack and see what they can find as a result. And then just because you don't think something would be valuable to an attacker, doesn't mean it isn't, or it doesn't mean it isn't valuable to you. So thinking things like customer data, business information, you'd be quite disappointed if you lost your entire customer list. Be quite disappointed if those important presentations you had for a discussion with a client got taken or got ransomwared. So all of these things mean that if an attack were to happen, you're actually still a target and really quite vulnerable to being hit.
Thanks, Will. I think disappointment that you mentioned there is probably very much of an understatement. Saka, what about you? What misconceptions are you hearing about at the moment?
So, an often brought up misconception, particularly amongst smaller organizations, is that we have an antivirus and this is enough. Now, while a decade or two ago, the traditional antivirus would have been seen as adequate protection, just like Bob Dylan's song, Times They Are A-Changin'. The world has moved on, and the sophistication of cyber attacks have advanced. The idea that the traditional antivirus is enough no longer really rings true. To highlight this, Symantec, one of the pioneers of the antivirus industry, declared the antivirus as being dead in 2014. Shocking, I know. While the traditional antivirus will continue to play a part within organizations' overall cybersecurity, it's no longer sufficient to say it should be the sole cyber protection suite. As you may know, the role of a traditional antivirus is to defend against known malware threats, but it cannot defend against threats it cannot identify. In a recent report by the Ponemon Institute in October 2020, it was discovered that around half of organizations identified exploits and malware which have evaded their antivirus solutions. Now, this is deeply concerning. To stay safe in such a fluid environment, organizations must be able to adapt. And that first starts with planning and risk mitigation. To plan for incident response and business continuity measures, which will avert a worst case scenario, we also highly advise organizations to invest in modern endpoint protection solutions, such as CrowdStrike, SentinelOne, and Carbon Black. These are often called next generation antiviruses, which will be better able to protect an organization from known and unknown threats, as they can be anticipated and prevented using a combination of advanced technologies such as artificial intelligence, behavioral detection, machine learning, exploit mitigation, and etc. Things which a traditional antivirus does not have.
Some good tips there, thank you, Saka, as well as the reference to Bob Dylan, which I appreciate, as you don't normally have Bob Dylan mentioned in a cyber podcast, but you managed it, so well done. And back to you, Will. Are you hearing of any other kinds of myths and misconceptions about why organisations won't be a cyber target?
Yeah, so one thing that a lot of people will characterise as a cyber attack is that image of the hacker with the hoodie in the dark room attacking an organisation from the outside in, probably most dramatised by sort of all of those Hollywood films and TV shows. However, there is always that large vector of internal risks to your organisation. Although most attacks are going to come from the outside, a significant number can have an internal element. That could be something like having an internal device being taken over by an attacker so that your employees are unwittingly introducing or spreading infections throughout your system. But more commonly, you also just have accidental incidents. So think of cases where you might accidentally set files to be shared with the public, accidentally send core information or sensitive information to the wrong customer, to the wrong partner, or even accidentally deleting files or important settings that are then lost into sort of cyberspace. All of those kinds of things are really going to have a big effect on the business, and just hardening yourself against external threats doesn't really mitigate those problems. You need to think of your security as a bit of an all-in-one, a holistic approach, so that you're thinking, what happens if this user acts either maliciously, maybe they're trying to take revenge on my business, has their computer taken over and so unwittingly spread something nasty, or just accidentally does the wrong thing. So things like restricting and quarantining certain access and privileges so that people are only able to do the things they absolutely need to for their day-to-day work really will minimize the risk of someone accidentally doing something or being hijacked to then have a much bigger impact on the rest of the business. Similarly, mandating these kinds of things through file device management solution will allow you to make sure that all of your internal devices, all your internal employees are able to have their systems set up to the right settings so that they're not accidentally accessing, deleting, or lowering their defenses.
That's great, Will. I think it's an important point is that people are always going to be the weakest link in anything such as this. And you've given some really good tips on how to minimise that part of the risk. Saka, surely there's not anything more that people believe is why they're not going to be a cyber attack, or is there?
Unfortunately so. So another common myth is we don't have any IT, and that's echoed through some organizations. And that might be due to an underutilization of IT or simply due to a lack of an IT department, which leads to a false perception that an organization doesn't have any IT or simply that it doesn't require IT to function. However, if you can stop to consider the reality, it's difficult to imagine an organization which doesn't have any systems or networking, even the most offline of organizations. If a workplace is connected to the internet or there are any systems, including industrial systems, then the potential risk to cybersecurity exists. A famous, or rather infamous, example is the Stuxnet virus, which targeted and destroyed Iran's nuclear centrifuges and reduced their nuclear capability. Now, these nuclear facilities were known to have no networking. However, they did have industrial systems which could be targeted. And while these actions were taken by nation-state actors, they highlight the risks clearly to even non-network systems and how malware can adversely impact industrial systems. You've also got to consider threats from the supply chain. The Kaseya VSA ransomware attack is a very recent example of a supply chain attack where hundreds of organizations were infected with ransomware simply due to using a Kaseya product in the supply chain that was vulnerable through no fault of their own. So some things are unavoidable, However, you can still mitigate these risks. Now, in the case where organizations have limited IT infrastructure, core security measures mentioned previously and policies ensure that these don't pose a risk to the rest of the business. These include implementing a hardened operating system configuration, basic things such as disabling USB devices, particularly for industrial systems, help a lot, drafting incident response plans, and backing up core data separate and outside of your network. Ideally, encrypting and protecting these will be ideal measures to have that basic level of protection, where even if you have a very little IT infrastructure, or you consider to have, you know, no IT infrastructure at all, you will still have those basic protections in place that will absolutely mitigate risks and ensure that the rest of the business is not affected.
Very good, Saka. Thank you. So clearly saying we don't have any IT doesn't make you any less of a target. I think we're coming nearly to the end now, but we have time for one more. If there actually is one more misconception or myth that you're hearing about, is there anything more, Will?
Yeah, so I think there's quite a key area that more advanced organizations sometimes fall into the trap of, which is believing that their cloud security and their cloud hosting providers will sort out their security all as one. And that since Google, Amazon, Microsoft are hosting all my content in the cloud, I don't need to worry about security. While it's true to an extent, these much more advanced organizations do take out a good section of the number of threats that organizations can be susceptible to. Comparing that with hosting on-premises, these can be much safer solutions because all of their servers are protected in ways from more direct attacks. At the same time, these organizations still give you all of the configurations, all of the customizability that allows attackers in. So it's a little bit of a false sense of security for some organizations when they think, my cloud provider will cover my security. I don't need to worry about things. You're in control of the systems you're hosting on these providers, the software you're using, and the setup that you've chosen. We often see with a number of our customers, they'll think, I got it set up with this cloud hosting provider. I don't need to worry. But when we look into it, because they've chosen default settings, they've left a number of really quite sensitive ports open to that infrastructure that would otherwise allow attackers to get in. Or alternatively, they've set their default sharing option to be public, so they'll have maybe sensitive data or at least hordes of data that really shouldn't be made public available via an S3 bucket that's just open to the world. So what we'd say is, if you're using a cloud hosting provider, that's a really good step towards managing your infrastructure as well as just, you know, increasing your security. But don't let that fool you. Still do the basic steps. Make sure you're checking what settings you've set up. Make sure things aren't unnecessarily public or open. And then also do the basics of setting good firewall rule. Make sure that your passwords are unique, complex, and ideally, if possible, use multi-factor authentication so that access to these cloud portals is nicely restricted. And then make sure that only the right people are able to access this. Similar to what I was saying earlier about your internal threats, you want to make sure access is on a need-only basis rather than open to as many people as are in your business.
That's wonderful, Will. Thanks very much. And you said something in there, you're in control. And I think actually, throughout what we've been talking about here, that's the important factor. You are in control. They are your systems. They are that it's your cyber that you need to look after. So you need to take control of it, regardless of whether you think you're a target or not, because the likelihood is you most probably will be. No one's too small, despite the reasons they think. Well, sadly, believe it or not, that's all we have time for. Thanks very much, Will and Saka, for clearing up those myths and misconceptions and also providing those really useful and simple tips on avoiding being a cyber target. If anyone would like more information on managing their business cyber risks, please contact us at hello@kind.io and we'd be more than happy to help. Once again, thanks Saka and Will and to our listeners, and I look forward to welcoming you to the next Kind podcast, which is coming very soon. Thank you.